All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph. I understand you got a couple of lines down on the daf. We're actually going to start from the first line of the daf. We'll just do a quick recap of the sugya down to the 11th line so we could jump right into the sugya. Our shiur this morning and our shiur in this month are dedicated by Leah Sol in the Zechus of Rafu Shalema for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther. We hope that We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Chole Yisrael will have a complete and enduring refuah. So we'll say, so let's go. Amar Rava. So remember again, very quickly, because I know this is just going to be Chazara from yesterday. So Rava said as follows. Remember again, we're dealing with the issue specifically of Malika. And ultimately, again, how it could be that you could have a proper Malika without essentially rendering the animal an avela. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, ima v'chein hu osa. This indeed is the process for Malika. Chotech shadja umafrakes below rov basar. We'll say, ultimately, again, the process for Me'ila is, you go ahead and you cut the spinal cord, the back and the mafrakes, without the surrounding flesh. So therefore, again, I will say, under these circumstances, ultimately, one is able to go ahead and break through the spinal cord while still allowing the animal to remain alive. As long as that flesh remains intact, so ultimately, again, the animal remains alive. Kisalik Rabbi Zira, Ashkechev Rabbi Ami, the Yosef v'ka'amar loha shmaisa. So we'll say, so when Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Ami, who was sitting and giving over this same ruling. So we'll say, in other words, Rabbi Ami was giving over the same basic process for Malika, to go ahead and ultimately cut through the spinal cord while still keeping the majority of the flesh intact. V'ka'amar loha shmaisa amalei v'chimesa omeid umolik. So he said to him, ultimately, again, if the animal is dead, if the animal is already dead, can you continue the process of Malika? So we'll say, ultimately, again, he was like dumbfounded for a moment, didn't know what to answer. He said, no, this is what you have to do. Chotech shadra umafrakes below rov basar. Ultimately, again, what is it that you're supposed to do? You cut through the shadra and the mafrakes, you cut through the neck, as well as through the spinal cord, and ultimately, again, leave the majority of the flesh surrounding the spinal cord intact. That way, on a technical level, the animal is still alive throughout the process, or while through the process of Malika. Tanya Mihachi, Osi Abibraisa, that supports this as well. Ketzad Molkin Chatasof. So we'll say so again. So now, what we've just established is something exceptionally important, which is the entire process for Malika. So it appears, based on what the Gemara is saying over here, is that we're going to cut through the Shedra and the Mafrakes while leaving the flesh, what Gemara is calling the flesh, which is really the nerves, intact. So that way the animal, again, does not automatically become an avela. Just as soon as the neck is broken, but rather, again, is able to remain alive. So the Gemara says as follows. Good. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a brisa that supports this idea. Kitzad Molkin Chatasov. So we're going to spend some significant amount of time today discussing the Chatasov. Again, not as much from a carbonic perspective, but much more from a Shechita perspective. So watch this. Kitzad Molkin Chatasov. How do you go ahead and do the Chatasov? How do you perform this process? So again, remember, Chatasov is that there are certain sin offerings where they're what we call a variable offering. That halacha lemaisa, depending on your financial station, will ultimately determine the nature of the carbon you bring. Everything from an animal, going all the way again to a mincha, to a meal offering. The step above a meal offering will be an oaf, will be a bird. So ketzad molkin chatasov, how do you do proper malika on a chatasov? Chotech shedra umafrakes below rov basar. You go ahead and you cut through the shedra and the mafrakes while leaving the majority of the flesh intact. Ad shemagia leveshet o lekana. Both until you get to the veshet or to the kana, right? To the veshet or to the kana. So it says, the Gemara says, higia leveshet o lekana. If you get to the trachea of the esophagus, then what? Chotech simon echad o rubo. The rov basrimus. So remember again, The tricky part about Malika is that what? Is that we've discovered, at least according to the Gemara over here, you want to be able to cut through the spinal cord, the backbone, as well as one of the simanim. So remember again, the challenge we got to is what? We always thought that once you break the backbone of the animal, of the bird, so what happens? The bird is dead. If the bird is dead, then halacha lemaisa, again, by the time you cut one of the simanim, you're cutting the siman on a dead bird. That's why the Gemara devised this particular process by saying that what? You cut through the shedra of the mafrekes, leave intact the rov basa, the majority of the flesh surrounding the shedra mafrekes, and then after you go out and you get through the spinal cord, cut one of the simanim, and when you cut one of the simanim, ultimately then you cut rov basa imo. Then you go ahead and you cut the majority of the flesh surrounding the spinal cord along with it. So the Gemara says, I will say, by a bird, specifically by a sacrificial bird, the halacha is all you need is simen or rov simen. All you need, again, is the trachea or the esophagus. You do not need both, and you don't even need a complete one. Rather, again, you just need the majority. So I will say one more time. Ketzad molkin chatas of. How do you go ahead and do malika and chatas of? Chotech shedra umafrekes below rov basar. You cut through the shedra of the mafrekes without the majority of the flesh. Achavagia leveshet olakana. Until you get to... until the esophagus or the trachea. He gives a veshet or the kana, chotech simen echad. You get to the veshet or to the kana, but say again, cut either one you want. Chotech simen echad, o rubo, or the majority, virov basar imo. And ultimately, again, the majority of the flesh surrounding the spinal cord along with it. So we'll say, so this is chatasof, as opposed to uba ola. But I will say, as opposed to ultimately, again, the Ola, Shnayim Orov Shnayim. When it comes to an Ola, you will go ahead, this is Ola Sa'of. This is all by birds. When it comes to the Ola Sa'of, you will Shecht two Simonim or the majority of two Simonim. So it says the Gemara, money. Whose opinion is being reflected over here? Irabanan. So I will say, so what the Gemara is focusing on over here, so let's just take a step back. What we have over here is the process now for Chata Sa'of and Ola Sa'of, which are essentially the same. Breakthrough with Malika, the Mafrakes and the Shedra. Go ahead and cut a simen. By Chatas, I only need to cut one simen or the majority. By Ola, I need to cut through two simanim or the majority. And then when I'm cutting the simen, I cut rov basar imo, the flesh around the spinal cord as well. So we'll say, so money. Whose opinion is being reflected over here? Irabanan. Ha'amri shnayim dafka. So we'll say, so here we go. If it's the Rabbanan ultimately holds that it is not enough to shecht the majority of the two simanim, rather what do you have to do? The entire two simanim. Rov shnayim. And if it's Rabbi Elazar Rishimin, ultimately again, he holds that you only require what? You only require rov shnayim. You would never require a full shnayim. So we'll say, so the Braisa doesn't seem to choose a side. So whose opinion is reflected over here? To which the Gemara says, Ema Shnayim L'Rabbanan, Rov Shnayim L'Rabbanan, Rov Shnayim L'Rabbanan. So you could say, you could either read the Mishnah, the Braisa is saying Shnayim, and it would reflect the view of the Rabbanan, or Rov Shnayim, and it would reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. V'Boisim, the other possibility is, Ha V'Ha Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Both could reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, and how so? My shnayim, what does it mean when it says two simanim, shedomim l'shnayim? You have to shecht it in a way that it resembles like you're shechting two simanim. What does it mean, a way that resembles you're shechting two simanim? I will say, rov, when you shecht the majority of something, it's ki'ilu, it's as if you have shechted the both of the simanim in their entirety. Good. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll listen to this. So again, so what we have over here so far is very important. It appears that we have come to a conclusion as to what the proper process of Malika is. That's number one. Now that we've also been introduced to the distinction between Chata Sa'of and Ola Sa'of. Chata Sa'of, same process for Malika, but you need to go ahead and shecht one of the simanim. Ultimately, again, Ola Sa'of, you're going to have to shecht two of the simanim. According to the Rabbanan, it's one whole simon, two whole simonim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, majority of one simon, majority of two simonim. Good. You'll keep that in mind because we're going to circle back to this in just a little bit. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshumah. We'll say Vayter. So Rav Yehuda says the name of Meshumah, the following halacha. Nishbara mafrekes verov baser ima metayeh ba'anavo. This is actually talking about a person. Let's say, chas v'shalom, a person sustains a traumatic injury, and what happens? The spinal cord is broken with the majority of the flesh surrounding it. So what's the halacha? Metame ba'ohel. Now, we'll say metame ba'ohel means what? Means what? That essentially we treat him as dead, even if he presents as alive. Now, we'll say what we're going to see is, we know that halacha l'maisa, or just practically speaking, even after an organism is dead, it can still continue to move. Sometimes those movements are mistaken for signs of life. We'll see this by shchita, we'll see it by people. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, once the spinal cord is broken, and the majority of flesh is broken along with it, that person is dead. And therefore, again, if you're under the same roof with him, ultimately, again, he conveys tumas ohel. Even if his body is moving, he is dead. So the Gemara says, Ve'im tomar, osa maisa de'eli, dimafrekes belorov basar havi. You're supposed to listen to this. you'll point out the case of Eli. This is actually amazing. So remember again, the episode with Eli in Sefer Shmuel, right? Ultimately, again, remember Eli's sons, Chafni and Pinchas, who unfortunately took some wrong turns in life, ended up making a dramatic mistake of taking the Aron, the Ark, out to war against the Plishtim. Remember again, this is the incredible battle where the Ark is taken by the Plishtim. Chafni and Pinchas are killed by the Plishtim. Ultimately, word gets back to Eli. Eli is sitting in his high chair, his throne in Shiloh, falls off his chair, the Lashon of the Navi we're going to see in just a moment, and it appears he breaks his neck. Rashi says, Ve'im tomar, Rashi says, Ha'eli mafrakes below rov basar hava, the karile meis, v'tishbar mafrakto v'yama. So also by Eli it says that Eli's spinal cord broke. Now what it sounds like over here is that Eli broke his neck bone without rov basar. And yet what? He died. So the Gemara is bringing this as a raya that one could break the spinal cord even with the majority of the flesh intact, right, attached, and yet still die. To which the Gemara says, Eli's different. Zikna shiny. When a person is very old, Rabosai, so again, the breaking of the neck bone itself, even without the surrounding flesh, is enough to result in death. This, because the Pasuk says, Vayhi kas kiro es aron elokim, when they told Eli that the Ark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was seized, Vayhi pol me'al ha'kise acharonis, he fell backwards off his chair, Be'ad yad hashar, ultimately again, by the entrance way of the city, Vatishbar mafrakto vayamas. His neck bone broke, and he died. Why? Ki zokin ha'ish v'kaved. So apparently, again, because he was old, and he was heavy. Whether heavy means that he was heavier, or heavy just means that because ultimately, again, of his advanced age, you know, sometimes when you're falling, just you redistribute your weight. And because he was older, he was unable to do that. Therefore, again, the breaking of the backbone, even though it left the surrounding flesh intact, ultimately, again, was enough to kill him. So the Gemara says as follows. So also, I say, therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says that if a person sustains chas v'shalom a traumatic injury where the neck and the surrounding flesh is broken, that person halachically is considered to be dead and will be metame tumas ohel. So the Gemara gives another case. Next case. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan. Karu kidag. What's another dramatic case? You cut a person open like a fish. So metami ba'ohel. We're not encouraging it, just saying if it happens. Metami ba'ohel. Ultimately, again, such a person is metami tumas ohel. So we'll say if a person is, we're going to see what this means in just a moment, person chas v'shalom is cut open like a fish, he is also considered to be dead. Considered to be dead. Person cannot survive such an injury like this. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak umigavos. So we'll say this would be talking about a situation where essentially a person is cut from head to toe. So the Gemara qualifies this furthermore by the back. If a person, chas v'shalom, were to be sliced open by the back, ultimately, again, all the way down, that would be a person cannot survive that type of injury, and therefore be metame tumas ohel. Amar Shmuel, next case. Asa gistera. So this is actually an interesting case here. Asa gistera, she says, shechot chalur achba, obit savara kula obit shedra adachala. So we'll say gistra means cut in half. Cut in half. Now, half, by the way, doesn't have to necessarily be literally the middle of the body, but it means that ultimately, again, into two pieces. So asa gistra nevela. So we'll say this is talking about over here by an animal, right? If you cut an animal in half, so such an animal ultimately, again, is considered to be a nevela. Is considered to be a nevela. Next case. Amar Rav Elazar, nital hayerach. This is another very interesting case. What happens if halacha lemaisa, the thigh was removed? Now we're going to see what this means in just a moment. The chalal shela nikar, and I will say the cavity itself, ultimately again is recognizable. What's the halacha? Nevela. The animal is considered to be an avela. I will say now let's analyze this for just a moment. Hechi dami chalal shela nikar. So I'll say what does it mean ultimately again that the cavity is recognizable. Amarava, kol sheravutza veniris chasera. It's any animal when if it was to squat down, it would be clear that the leg was missing. So we'll see what it's referring to over here is as follows. If you were to go ahead and remove the leg of an animal all the way up essentially to the socket, I don't know what to tell you, to all, meaning, right, to the body of the animal. In other words, that the entire leg and thigh is missing to the body, to the point of that where the actual body of the, where it connects to the body of the animal. To the point of we'll say what it means is that even when the animal is crouching down, you see normally when an animal is crouching down, you can't necessarily see its legs because they're folded under it. If you were to remove the leg in such a way that even when the animal is crouching, you can see that the leg is missing, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says, such a situation like that, the animal is an avela. So apparently, I will say, that is enough of a traumatic injury to the animal that the animal will not survive that particular injury, and therefore, again, has the status of an avela. Good. Rashi says, nevela, va'afilu bechayeha mitama. Well, it's actually quite a dramatic statement. Even while the animal is alive, ultimately, again, it will go ahead and, convey tumas nevela. Tinan hasam. We'll say another case. Tinan hasam. Hudzu rasheyan. It's all very interesting cases. The head was chopped off. Now we'll say, this is about animals. Hudzu rasheyan, Rashi says, bishmona shrotzim kamayri b'seder taras. Actually, over here, the Gemara is quoting from a Mishnah in Meseches Taras. So the Gemara says, or Seder Taras. So the Gemara says as follows, actually quoting from Olos, excuse me. Hudzu rasheyan. We'll say, let's say you have, now Rashi says, it's talking about over here, shrotzim. Remember again, shrotzim are creepy, crawly things, which ultimately, again, convey tumah. Well, can convey tumah. So the Gemara says, if their heads are chopped off, chutzu rosheyen, afapi shemefarchisin tumeyin. Even though both say they are moving, I don't know what the technical term is, right? If something moves after it, no, but I'm saying, I think there's a scientific term for movement that occurs after death. Okay, whatever it is. So the Gemara says, Husu Roshayan, if ultimately, again, the head of the, in this case, the sheret, is chopped off, Afa Pishim Afarchasin, even though, again, the body of the animal is still moving, Tameyim. Ultimately, again, the animal is Tame. The animal is Tame. So the animal conveys Tuma. Why? Kizonav Halta Shim Afarchasas. Because this is like the tail of a lizard. Everyone knows that what happens if you chop off the tail of a lizard, it continues to move, even though clearly, again, I will say, the tail of the lizard is not alive anymore after it is detached from the lizard. So we must point out, we see this concept that movement is not the equivalent of life. That you can have a situation, ultimately, again, where what? Where halacha lemaisa, there is movement, but the organism is already considered to be dead. So the Gemara says, my chutzu. So let's analyze this. Therefore, again, in the case of the shrotzim, in the case of these creepy, crawly things, so the halacha is, once you remove the head, so ultimately, again, they have the ability to convey tumah, even though the body is still moving. So my chutzu. So also, when we say that you're chopping off the head of the sheretz, what does this refer to? So the Gemara says two different opinions. Reish Lakish Amar, Hutsu Mamish. Reish Lakish says exactly as it sounds. Literally, the head is actively being removed from the rest of the body. Rabbi Asi Amar, Amar Rabbi Mani, Kehav Dalas Olas Ha'of. No, Hutsu doesn't have to literally mean that the head was detached, that the animal was decapitated. Rather, it could mean like the removal of the head by Olas Ha'of. We'll say, what's the pshat by Ola Sa'uf? So we'll see in just in a minute what this means. So we'll say, obviously, in this context, the Gemara sounds like what it's saying over here is as follows. That when we say that the head is decapitated, it could either mean decapitated mamish or ke'ola sa'uf. And we'll say, what it sounds like is that, what does it say by Ola Sa'uf? That it's not totally and fully decapitated. So the Gemara says, sorry. So the Gemara says, "I'm going to be Yirmiyahu the Rabasi. Kavdalas olas of the Rabbanon, velo pligasu. Old Dilma kavdalas olas of the Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon upligasu." So I'm saying, now watch this. See, here we get into it. Now, we're going to get into olas. So remember again, going back to what we said before, halacha lemaisa. What did we discuss? The distinction between olas of and chatas of. Remember that distinction. Olas of Rabbanon say ultimately again. Required the one simon, two simonim, right? Yes, Ola Sa'of was two simonim, Chata Sa'of was one simon. So we'll say, so now what we're going to see is there is a machlokes, ultimately again, between the Rabbanon, and we already saw it already, the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. When it comes ultimately again to Ola Sa'of, do you require two full simonim, or do you require rov simanim? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kavdalas olas of the rabbanim the baal kol simanim v'lo pligasa. So we'll say ultimately again. Are we talking? So when we are comparing this case ultimately again to the removal of the head of the olas of rabosai, is that like the rabbanon who require two full simanim, and therefore again rabosai it's quite possible that the head of the olas of is removed from the body? Or is it like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon who just requires rov? Now we'll say, obviously, if you're just requiring rov, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, there is no detachment of the head from the body. Amar lei, kavdalas olas of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon upalginin. So we'll say, so he said, it really refers to ultimately, again, like the removal of the head from the olas of. According to Rabbi Shimon, and ultimately again, he's voicing disagreement. Ike de Amri, Bosei others go ahead and explain. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Chutzu Mamish. Rabbi Shimon says that what's the case? Bosei the case ultimately is that the head is actively and fully removed. Rabbi Asi Amar Mani Kavdalas Olas Over Rabbi Shimon. Berov Shnayim. Or Mani said the name also ultimately that's what? That is talking about the removal of the head of the Ola Sa'of. Like Rabbi Zerba Shimon, that the head is not totally removed, but rather, again, the majority of both Simonim is severed. To which the Gemara finally says, My Rabbanon, Umay Rabbi Zerba Shimon. So we'll say now we have to get back to basics. Remember again, what we've just. So this whole discussion was primarily a discussion about shratzim, that if the head is severed, so the sheretz has the ability to convey tumah. That then led us back to a discussion about Ola Sa'of. This discussion of Ola Sa'of really references back to the beginning of our daf today, where we saw again two bird offerings. One a Chata Sa'of, one an Ola Sa'of. In the case of Chata Sa'of, I'll say ultimately again, we just have to go ahead and shecht one simon. In the case of Ola Sa'of, we have to shecht two simonim. What does it mean to shecht two simonim? The Rabbanon will say two full simonim. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will say one simon, or the majority, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will say two simonim, but it doesn't have to be the full simon, but rather what? Only the majority of those two simonim. So we'll say fundamental machlokes Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, when it comes to chatas of, do you have to cut through both simonim in their entirety, or is it just enough to cut through the majority of those two simonim? Machlokes here. So we'll say, so says the Gemara as follows. Let's analyze this. My Rabbanon, my Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. We'll say, where do we see this machlokes? Here we go. This Sanyo. The Braisa says as follows: Ve'es hasheni ya'ase ola kamishpat. So we'll say the pasuk over here says as follows. The pasuk says, "Ve'es hasheni ya'ase ola kamishpat v'chi pralava koy mechata so asher chata v'nislach lo." So the pasuk ve'es hasheni ya'ase ola kamishpat. So we'll say, "You shall go ahead and offer up this bird ola kamishpat. Kamishpat means what? In accordance with its rules." So Rashi says over here, if you look, it's the first white line in Rashi, Kamishpat, Mashma Shekatzif HaMishpat B'Mokom Acher. So what that sounds like is that the laws of the Ola, the Ola Sa'of, have already been delineated elsewhere. Where have the laws of the Ola Sa'of already been delineated? To which the Gemara says, Kamishpat Chatos Behema. It's been delineated already in accordance with the laws of the Chatos of a Behema. So we'll say, so if you finish that Rashi says over Kamishpat, Mashma Shekatzif HaMishpat B'Mokom Acher, Vahechakoi, what is it referring to? Achatos Behema Dela Elkoi, Shari Olozu Ba Chalipin Lo, Hilchach La Aksha, Fiolef Minekit Mepharish Lekamei Deina Ba Elamenachon. So let's listen to this. Remember, when do you bring, we'll say, a Chatos Sof, when do you bring an Ola as a Chatos? Only if you're not able to afford a Behema. Right, it's brought as a substitution if you can't afford a behemoth. So the Gemara says it must be therefore because Ola Sa'of is a substitution for Ola's behemoth, therefore the laws of Ola Sa'of are learned out from Ola's behemoth. So the Gemara says, Chatas behema, I mean. So the Gemara says, Kamishpat chatas behema. Atomer kamishpat chatas behema. So you're going to tell me you're going to learn out the laws of Oaf from chatas behema. O eino ela kamishpat chatos of. Or Rabbi was saying, maybe I'm going to learn out the laws of Ola Sof from chatos of. Sekishu omer vehikrivo. Rabbi was saying, ultimately again, when the pasuk says the word vehikrivo, and you shall offer it, right? Ultimately again, a reference to Olas of Nedava, Chalak HaKosov bin Chatas of La Olas of. Torah is coming to make a distinction between the halachos concerning Chatas of and Olas of. If that's the case, I will say when it talks about Olas of, Mani Mekan Kamishpat, ultimately again when the Torah says that the laws of the Olas of Kamishpat are in accordance with something we learned already before, what is it learning out Olas of from? Kamishpat Chatas Behema. So we'll say, being that Olas of comes instead of a chatas behema, so therefore learn out the laws of Ola Sa'of from chatas behema. How so? Ma chatas behema, eina ba'a ela amud beis, eina ba'a ela min achulin. So we'll say, just like chatas Sa'of, just like chatas behema, only comes from chulin. Right? So we'll say, look at Rashi, eina ela min achulin, belomi ma'os maisr sheni. Ultimately, again, it cannot come from Meiser Sheni money, Ubayom, and it can only be brought by day, Ubiyado Hayimonis, and it has to ultimately again be offered up with the right hand of the Kohen, Af Ola Sa'of. So to Rabbi say again, the laws of Ola Sa'of are learned out from Chatas Behema. Again, just so you understand that relationship. We're talking about an Ola Sa'of that is brought as a Chatos. When do you bring an Ola Sa'of as a Chatos? If you cannot afford to bring a behema. Therefore, again, the Gemara is understanding when the Torah uses the word kamishpat, which tells me that the laws of the Ola Sa'of are learned out from some pre-existing halachic framework and construct. It makes sense to learn it out from chatos behema, being that, again, Ola Sa'of is brought instead of chatos behema. What do we learn out from Ola from chatos behema? These three halachas. Number one, that it can only come from chulin. Number two, that it can only be offered up by day. And number three, that it has to be offered up with the right hand of the coin. Af olas ola, ena ba'a ela mina chulin, bayom ubiyado hayimanis. So too, again, I will say, ultimately, again, ola so follow these same halachas, namely, that it can only come from unconsecrated monies, has to be brought by day, and has to be offered up with the right hand. Well, if that's the case, imala halon barov shnayim. So we'll say if that's the case, then why don't they say as follows? Just like by Chatos Behema, we'll say, what's the halacha? By Behema, what do you need for Shechita? You need the majority of the two simanim, right? Why don't they say the same thing by what? By Ola Sa'of, right? Ola Sa'of should also require, ultimately, again, two simanim. Tamad Omar, Umalak v'Hiktir. Then we'll say the pasuk says ultimately again, Umalak vehiktir, you shall do the malika and you shall burn it. Mahak tara harosh biatzmo vahaguf baatzmo. Af malika harosh baatzmo vahaguf baatzmo. So we'll say just like again, this is actually very interesting. When you burn the Ola Sa'of, when you burn the Ola Sa'of, we'll say, so you burn the body and the head separately. So just like when you burn, just like by the burning of the animal, the bird, you burn the head and the body separately, so too the malika must be done in such a way that the body and the head are separated. Which also means what? That it is not enough to cut through the majority of two simanim, but rather what? The complete two simanim. So although we are learning aptalachas of olas ha'of from chatos behima, they will differ in this one major way, that by chatos behima, all you need to do is cut through the majority of two simanim. By olas ha'of, you must go ahead and cut through both simanim in their entirety. Rabbi Shmuel says, Kamishpat, we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Shmuel says, when it comes to olas ha'of, so we'll say, everyone's agreeing ultimately again, that the fact that the Torah uses the word Kamishpat, in accordance with its laws by Ola Sa'of, is telling us that the laws of Ola Sa'of are learned out from some other pre-existing halachic construct. So Mishmala comes along and he says, as Kamishpat, what does that mean? Kamishpat Chata Sa'of. In fact, we're going to learn out Ola Sa'of from Chata Sa'of. Ma Chata Sa'of Mimul Oref. Just like we'll say Chata Sa'of, the Malika takes place from the back of the neck. Af Ola Sa'of Mimul Oref. So Tzav will say, also the malik will take place from where? The back of the neck. So we'll say that's the case. We'll say, just like by Chata Sa'of, we'll say all you need to do is what? Cut one simen, and you can leave one simen intact. That's halach by Chata Sa'of. Afkan molek ve'ino mavdil b'simen echad. So we'll say maybe so too by Chat by Ola Sa'of. All I have to do is what? Is go ahead and cut through one simen. Talmud Lomar vehikrivo. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk comes along by Ola Sa'of and says that what vehikrivo, you have to offer it. Which also means as much as Kamishpat tells me that I'm going to learn out the laws of Ola Sa'of from where some other pre-existing halachic construct. The word vehikrivo teaches me that Ola Sa'of still has its unique halachic peculiarities. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, therefore, I'm going to learn out Ola Sa'of from Chata Sa'of. What is that going to teach me? That's going to teach me that ultimately, again, the Shechita, or the Malika, of the Ola Sa'of takes place from the back of the neck. Aye, but Chata Sa'of only requires one simen. Maybe I'll say that Ola Sa'of only also requires one simen, to which the word Vehikrivo, you shall offer it, tells me that the offering of the Ola Sa'of is different than the Chata Sa'of. And that's what? Chata Sa'of only requires one simen. Ola requires two simanim. Now, Rabbi Shimon has a different shita. What does he say? Here we go. Kamishpat. So we'll say, remember again, everyone's trying to figure out, ultimately again, from where do we learn out the halachos of Ola Sa'of from? So Kamishpat. What does Kamishpat teach me? Kamishpat Chata Sa'of. So we'll say, so Rabbi Shimon is actually is agreeing with Rabbi Shmuel, in that Kamishpat teaches me that the laws of Chata Sa'of the laws of Ola Sa'of are learned out from Chata Sa'of. So we'll say, I wanted to point out something very interesting over here. Before we go on, so remember again, here's what we have. We have a three-way machlokes, as we're going to see in just a moment. What everyone's agreeing with is that what? The word Kamishpat by Ola Sa'of teaches me what? That I'm learning out the halachos of Ola Sa'of from somewhere else. The first opinion quoted over here, right, the Rabbanon, ultimately, again, our understanding that we're learning out the laws of Chata Sa'of from Chata's Behema. I should say, Ola Sa'of from Chata's Behema. Right? Why? Because Ola Sa'of, which is, again, I want to be clear, is also a sin offering. It's also a Chata's offering, is being brought in lieu of an animal. And therefore, again, you're learning it out, ultimately, again, from the laws of Behema. The second two opinions seem to understand it is illogical to learn out the laws of Ola Sa'of from an animal offering. Instead, where will you learn out Ola Sa'of from? We'll say, what's more logical? Chata Sa'of. They're just disagreeing in terms of which particular halachos are going to learn out from Chata Sa'of. So watch this. And also, but what's interesting in this particular three of machlokas is everyone's agreeing on the construct of the drasha. So Kamishpa tells me that the laws of Olat Sa'of are gleaned from somewhere else, but Vehikrivo teaches me that Olat Sa'of still has its own unique identity as well. So here we go. So the Gemara Rabbi Zerushim and Omer, Kamishpat, Rabbi say last line, Chafala from the days, Kamishpat, when the Pasuk says Kamishpat, Kamishpat Chat HaSa'of. It means that the laws of Olat Sa'of are learned out from the laws of Chat HaSa'of. Ma lahalon. Both said, just like when it comes to Chat HaSa'of, top of Chaf Beis Amad Aleph, Ochez Barosh, Ubeguf, Umazeh, which is actually very interesting. When it comes to Chat HaSa'of, so we'll just translate this literally, then we'll see what it means. Ochez Barosh, Ubeguf, Umazeh means, you hold on to the head and the body of the bird, and you apply the blood on the Mizbeach. Sounds like you're squirting the blood. You hold the bird in its entirety in your hand, Umazeh, and you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. Afkan, so to over here by Ola Sa'of, Ochez Barosh, Ubeguf, Umazeh. You hold on to the head and the body and you sprinkle. Look at Rashi, we'll say just a moment. Ochez Barosh, Ubeguf, Umazeh, La'achar Malika. So we'll say after the Malika is done, Havya Hazok, Kidichsib, Bechadas, of Gabishmi Askol, Vihiza Midamachadas. So we'll say fine. So Gemara then says, My Kamar, what does this mean? Now what is the Gemara's Kasha? Look at Rashi. My Kamar, So what this sounds like over here is that for the Hazah, I have to be holding the head and the body in my hand at the same time. So where do you, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, my kamar, how you kamar? Mal halon, kishu ochez harosh beguf. Maze, afkan. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Kishahu ochis harosh beguf shemechuber harosh beguf bishas hazah. Oh, we'll say what it means is as follows. What's the halacha by chat hasof? We'll say what's the halacha? One simen. So therefore, again, by definition, when you are doing the blood application, because you've only cut through one simen, therefore, what? The head is still attached to the body. So just like by chat hasof. After the malika is done, you only cut through one simen. The head is still attached to the body, and therefore, when the hazah is done, the head is attached to the body. So, mar lahalon kishu achus harosh beguf. When you're holding onto the bird, the head is still attached to the body by the chat hasa'of. Afkan so to ultimately again by the ola kishu achus harosh beguf mazeh. So we'll say when the hazah is done, the head must still be attached to the body by Ola Sa'of as well. We'll say, look at Rashi, Afkan, Da'akarcha Hekesha, Lahachi Asa, Da'amul. So we'll say ultimately again, therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, Rabbi Shimon is suggesting that Allah Chalamai says, just like by Chata Sa'of, the head has to be attached. You see, by Chata Sa'of, we'll say it's certainly still attached to the body. Why? Because you're only cutting through one simen. So the Gemara is suggesting, just like by Chata Sa'of, the head is still attached to the body. So too by Ola Sa'of, even though the din is two simanim, the head must still be attached to the body at the time of hazah. To which the Gemara says, "Imal lahalon b'simin echad, afkan b'simin echad." Aye, so maybe you'll say, take the limud a little bit further and say that what? Just as halacha lemaisa by chata sa'of, you're only cutting through one simen. So too by olah sa'of, you're only cutting through one simen as well. Tamud omar vehekrivo. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, "No, by olah sa'of vehekrivo, you shall offer it," which tells us that what? That halacha lemaisa, the halachos of olah sa'of are different than chata sa'of. Whereas chata sa'of requires one simen, olah sa'of will require two. So also we'll stop over here for today. We end off again with this dramatic three-way machlokes about the limud of olah sa'of from chatas, or I should say, about the limud of olah sa'of, where the halachos are learning out, being learned out from, and ultimately again, what are the unique peculiarities of it. We will, the Meir Hashem, continue with this tomorrow.